So you'll recall a few weeks ago, there was a sermon on fraternal correction, or how to correct a brother who is in error or even in sin. And we learned that ideally we would just address the issue to the person himself unless something makes that impossible. So if you see a fellow employee stealing from the office, for example, your first recourse would be to approach the thief and encourage him to repent and return what he stole. If that's not possible for some reason, say the person could easily get you fired and you suspect that he might, you may go straight to that person's superior, not for the purpose of getting them in trouble, but remember, for correcting the sinner. Out of charity, you want this person to amend so that they don't have to answer for their sins in the next life. But it can be a troubling dilemma. So a third option, rather than going to the person themselves or to their superiors, a third option would be to consult a priest in confession and follow his advice. You may recall from that sermon that it was explicit that you not go public with the damning information unless there was immediate and certain harm that could be avoided by so doing, and not in any other way. Nor may we share the information with anyone who does not have a right to know. For example, in the case we have just made up, you cannot go around the office telling other employees of this man's crime. Today we'll pick up on some of those same principles to see how they apply to the sins of gossip. It's a fairly common sin, and to a large degree it's misunderstood. For this, we'll be following to some degree the moral theology of Fathers McHugh and Callan. Dominicans published their book in 1958 with an imprimatur from Francis Cardinal Spellman, Archbishop of New York. Any reputable moral manual will say pretty much the same thing, since this is basically church teaching. Quotes and non-quotes won't be distinguished. It'll all just kind of flow together. Defamation is the word that's used in moral theology for what is commonly called gossip. It's defined as the unjust blackening of the reputation of another person by secret words. It's divided into calumny and detraction. Gossip is, by its very nature, a grave sin, but certain things about it may lessen its severity. First, we look at the parts of the definition, and then we'll study them a little. After that, we'll look at how to determine the morality of gossip and what to do if you hear gossip. So the definition, unjust blackening of the reputation of another by secret words. It's divided into calumny and detraction. The parts of the definition and their meaning. It is unjust, that is, there is no reasonable motive to justify it. Blackening, it casts a shadow over or totally obscures another's good reputation. By secret words, that is, the words are not spoken to the person's face or in their hearing. Gossip is divided into calumny and detraction. Calumny is to say untrue things about someone. Detraction is to say things that are true. Effectively, as far as gossip is concerned, there is no difference between calumny and detraction, except for confessing the sin, because certainly to lie is a more grievous issue than to tell the truth. However, both can be gossip. Talebearing is also a part of defamation or gossip, but it's different in that it is the reporting of harmful words said by someone to the one about whom they were said, usually for the purposes of sowing discord. So, example, Joe calls Bob a cheater, but Tom is the only one who hears him say that. Tom goes to Bob and tells him what Joe said about him. This is talebearing. It is sinful. If, however, the purpose is to end the gossip, to gain clarity, to exonerate someone, then it's not talebearing, and certainly it would be permissible. We won't talk very much about talebearing today. Gossip is unjust. That is, there is no reasonable motive to justify it. Here's where many people fall into error. They think too easily, since that they're good people, that their motive is good, that what they say is true, that somehow that justifies speaking ill of someone, obviously assuming that they believe what they say is true. But what is a reasonable motive for damaging someone else's name or reputation? Remember, damaging their name or reputation does not have to be the goal. It may just be the result of what's said, but still, there has to be seriously grave reason for doing it. What could be a reasonable motive? Okay? It is unjust. That is, the person you're speaking to does not have a right to the information. Okay? And the person being harmed, there's no reason for harming the person's reputation. What could be a reasonable motive for harming someone's reputation? A good reputation is a right. Each person has a right to a good name or reputation. You better have serious grounds for violating that right. To protect people from harm. There's a good motive. A man walks into a bank with a bomb. You're allowed to reveal to the proper authorities that this man is a criminal. Or if there's no time for that, you can even yell out that he has a bomb and people need to flee. You're protecting people from a grave and immediate certain harm. But if a man used to be a criminal, as far as you can tell, he's amended his ways, he's not carrying a bomb, there's no reason to point out that a bank robber just entered the bank. That would be gossip, unjust blackening of someone's name or reputation. Aside from the panic you've caused, you've harmed the man's reputation without cause. So consider, is the cause just? What harm are you preventing? Is it worth the damage you do to the man's reputation? Do you have sufficiently grave reason to violate his right to a good name? Have you tried the principles of fraternal correction first? Remember, if you have turned the information over to the man and he has not corrected his ways, you can go to his superiors. There, the matter must be considered closed. Unless, of course, you think his superiors are also in on the crime somehow. Still, there's no just cause to talk about the person's faults or sins, real or imagined, outside the proper channels, or unless preventing a serious, immediate, and certain danger, and no other means are available. Serious. Serious danger. I think we know the difference between things that are serious and not serious. Immediate. Is this really something that's going to happen soon? Is this something that can't be prevented in any other way? Is there no time to find other avenues? And certain danger. Not, I kind of think maybe, perhaps. Certain. We know that something bad is going to happen. Next part of the definition. It blackens a person's name or reputation. Well, that doesn't need much explanation. That's kind of clear to us. Will what we say make the other person look bad? If it will, then we'd better be certain about the need to say it. If the person already has a bad reputation, we do no harm by saying what is already known about him in that regard. But as we said, it is not thereby permitted to say anything about his other faults which may not be known. For example, if a man is known to be a murderer, I cannot talk about his secret sins of theft except to those who have a right to know. Gossip is next caused by secret words. That is, words not spoken to the person himself or in his hearing, but to others who do not need to know. This shows also a certain cowardice, which can itself be sinful, and violates also the rules of fraternal correction, which is certainly sinful. Gossip. Words harmful to another's reputation, spoken to others who do not have a right to know. So to spread around the community that so-and-so is a dishonest man because you saw him take money that you think wasn't his, or you think he was dishonest in a certain business deal that you know about, this would be a sin, and a grave sin. We're talking about a man's honor. He has a right to his reputation, and you've blackened it. How do you know the money was not his, or that he was not handling that money for the owner? How do you know that if he were guilty of a crime, that he has not already repented of it? That would have been determined if you'd followed the proper channels for fraternal correction. Or that if it happened once, that it was not a mistake, that he already corrected. There are a thousand ways in which a situation might not be worthy of damaging the man's reputation. There are very few circumstances that would justify damaging a man's reputation. It would be rare and extreme that this would be an acceptable avenue, that you should talk to or listen to what is harmful to another's reputation. Very rare, without it being sinful. True, if you knew that another person were going to trust a man with a lot of money, you could warn him and say, "Hey, I had this experience with this man. I thought you should know." But what's the difference there? The person you're talking to may have a right to know the information so that he himself is not another victim. But again, you'd better be certain that there's an immediate and serious harm to be avoided. Immediate, serious, and certain. Not just, "I saw this and it looked fishy." Not good enough. There's an exception when you seek advice from a trusted confidant who will not spread the information. Then you may talk about it. "What do I do about this situation?" But again, that would be best done in the confessional. Take note also that because something is true does not mean that we can reveal it. A lot of people make this mistake. "Oh, I'm just saying what's true." Yes, so what? How many true things in your life do you not want revealed? Just because it's true doesn't mean it's okay to say it. We need a sufficiently grave reason. And then, recalling the Sermon on Fraternal Correction, it is to be revealed only to those who have reason to know. For example, if Betty's about to make a deal with Joan, but Mark knows that Betty is a cheat, Mark is free to warn Joan. He may not, however, speak to Dave about Betty's dishonesty. Betty has nothing to do with it and only knows Betty as a nice lady she's at church. Those who uselessly or harmfully discuss the known weakness of their neighbors are sinners, called gossips or fault finders. The gossip is like the thief who wishes to do harm but does not wish the victim to know the author of the harm. Gossip can be implicit or explicit. Explicit defamation, that is, the intentional blackening of a neighbor's reputation, is almost always a mortal sin. But how to determine the gravity of gossip in general? Well, there are several factors that go into it. Generally speaking, it is a mortal sin. If it's a light matter that's being revealed, perhaps that lessens the gravity. But first, we can consider the one speaking. Is it a reputable person? If the person's words have more weight, if they're taken seriously, then their sin is more serious, for the harm is more serious. Or is it someone known to embellish things, a windbag? Or maybe somebody who has a bone to pick with the one they're speaking about? That would damage the credibility of the thing they say. That's a question. The more credible the speaker, the greater the sin. One might argue that if this person is gossiping at all, he's already disreputable. Why would we listen to him? Second, on the part of the one listening, gossip can be more or less serious if the one the gossip is spoken to is known to be reliable, safe, a confidant, or are they likely themselves to pass along the information, picking up the phone and telling the first person they can find, or to use the information in a damaging way. If we suspect that that may happen, then sharing that bit of gossip with them would be much more serious than sharing with somebody who was a confidant. Third, the damage can be greater on the part of the one spoken about. Obviously, saying something damaging about the town drunk is a very different matter from saying something damaging about the mayor. It would be hard to imagine, in fact, that it is not a mortal sin to reveal something truly damaging about a leader of the community, especially if he has a reputation for goodness or virtue. Again, not that there are not outlets for doing this, but those outlets are typically not one's neighbor. Finally, the morality of gossip can be judged somewhat by the motive. What's the reason for saying something that would blacken another's reputation? Again, are we trying to save someone from harm? Calumny, that is a falsehood, certainly could never be justified. But to reveal the truth in order to avoid serious sin, the motive would have to be serious. For example, protecting the public from great harm, and only after all other avenues were exhausted. But again, certain, immediate, and grave harm. If it's a suspicion, if it's not certain, if it's not immediate, if there's more time that can be used to find other solutions, and if the harm is not grave. Unfortunately, many gossips want to gossip. They want to gossip more, the more grave the damage is that they cause, the bigger the scandal. Now, if one is guilty of gossip, there may be need for restitution, even at the expense of one's own reputation, if no other means can be found. In other words, it might even be necessary to tell the world that you were wrong to do what you did, to make amends. If it was calumny, so you better make sure that what you say is true. If it were calumny, you might even have to tell the world that you lied. That's a pretty extreme case. It would be dealt with by a confessor. But consider before you repeat what you hear, or what you think might be interesting, or even what you think might be important for someone else to hear, consider well that you could lose your own reputation over this. And how great would that fall be? We all have things we would rather not come to light. So lastly, how should we respond to gossip? Well, our first question in determining this would be, is this just or unjust? That is, not, is this true or not true? That's another question altogether. Some people think that they're justified in saying something simply because it's true. We already talked about this. But really, whether or not there's a reason to know is how we determine whether it's just or unjust to say something to someone. You hear gossip? The first question should be, do I have a need to know this information? Do I have a right to this information? It might be interesting to me that the leader of the local Rotary Club was just photographed in a casino in Las Vegas. But is it any of my business? No, it's not. I'm not a member of the Rotary Club, and in fact, I have no connection with it. And even if I were, would that matter? Maybe the implication is that he's got a gambling problem. So I happen to know the man from church, but still, does that make his activity at this moment any of my business? No. Therefore, the proper response for me would be to apply the principles of fraternal correction to this situation in two ways. One, I assume the person that's reporting this supposedly scandalous activity to me is ignorant of the moral principles that we've just been discussing. So I would tell him, you shouldn't be talking about this. If you can help that man avoid sin, you should go talk to him about it or find somebody who can get him some help. You could share this with them if you think there's a problem. But it might be mortally sinful for you to be implying that he has this problem. You've thus applied the principles of fraternal correction to the situation at hand, and you've encouraged this person to apply the same principles to the situation he's talking about. That is, you've given him a way to correct his behavior and use his information productively, according to the principles of fraternal correction. So a quick recap and some details. Gossip is the unjust blackening of another's reputation by secret words. It's divided into calumny, those things that are untrue, and detraction, those things that are true. It is just or unjust, depending on whether or not the person spoken to has a right to the information. That is to say, are they in a position of authority? Do they stand to suffer some immediate harm if they do not have the information? In this case, it would not be gossip. The right to know is something that is so widely abused in today's world. Look at all the junk that goes on the news. And people think they have a right to know just because we're Americans. I have a right to know what my neighbor's up to. No, you don't. The news would be a whole lot shorter if we would cut this garbage out. No one has the right to know another person's sins, unless it's their job, either because they're appointed so or in charity, to help that person, or if they need the information to protect themselves or others. And again, certain immediate and grave danger. Depending on the gravity of the information, one must have more or less certitude about what he says before even making fraternal correction. For example, if being seen in Las Vegas would bring disgrace upon the president of the Rotary Club, then I'd better be certain that he was there for an improper reason and not just visiting a sick aunt. I also need to make sure that this is a problem that needs solving and not just a thing of the past. How do I know he hasn't repented? One sin does not make him a dangerous man. Even past sins do not make him a dangerous man. Does this problem need to be addressed? Then don't say anything about it. Gossip can easily be a mortal sin, especially if the matter is serious, if the one talked about has a good reputation or standing in the community, or if the one doing the talking has a good standing in the community and his words are reputable. To close, of course, sacred scripture has plenty to say about loose lips and the sin of gossip. There are just a few passages here, though the list goes on for pages. From Ephesians we read, "Let no evil speech proceed from your mouth, but that which is good to the edification of faith, that it may administer grace to the hearers." What grace are you conveying by sharing the faults of someone else? That it may administer grace to the hearers. Proverbs, "A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer separates close friends." Wouldn't we rather separate ourselves from someone who would spread gossip than let them separate us from close friends? Proverbs again, "Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered." Trustworthy by virtue of the fact that this person is telling you something like this. They've shown themselves to be untrustworthy. Why do you want to be associated with that? Proverbs again, "Six things there are which the Lord hateth, and the seventh his soul detests." Okay, so we're going to wait for the seventh one. Six things the Lord hates: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plots, feet that are swift to run into mischief, a deceitful witness that utters lies, and him that soweth discord among the brethren. So even in those six things, we should be very careful about the words we say. The heart that devises wicked plots, the lying tongue, deceitful witnesses. But the thing that the heart of the Lord detests is him that sows discord among the brethren. Wouldn't it be a wonderful world if we really went around just applying the principles of fraternal correction? Not that you have to run around correcting every fault, you see, but that if you really, out of charity, cared for somebody else's soul and tried to help them, and in that manner kept their sins as private as possible, talking only to them about them for the purposes of helping them, how much good you could do. The heart of the Lord detests him that soweth discord among the brethren. Proverbs again, "Meddle not with him that revealeth secrets and walks deceitfully and opens wide his mouth." Meddle not with him that revealeth secrets. Titus, "To speak evil of no man, not to be litigious but gentle, showing all mildness towards all men." Wouldn't that be a nice world? We're all in this to help each other. From Luke, our Lord's words, "As you would that men should do to you, do you also in like manner." How many of your past things would you rather not be revealed? How many actions are we ashamed of? Even just stupid things we've done. "As you would that men should do to you, do you also in like manner." The imitation of Christ tells us when we're judging others, we should quickly remember our own faults. That'll quiet us down pretty quick. From James, "Detract not one another." Remember, detraction is the true stuff. He's not even talking about calumny here. That goes without saying. "Detract not one another, my brethren. He that detracts his brother or he that judges his brother detracts the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge." Proverbs. "For lack of wood, the fire goes out. But where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases." Isn't that a nice thought? From James, "If any man think himself to be religious, not bridling his tongue, but deceiving his own heart, this man's religion is vain." It's a cause to reflect. How seriously does our religion affect us? Psalm 101. "The man that in private detracted his neighbor, him did I persecute, saith the Lord." The man that in private detracted his neighbor, him did I persecute. Be careful of sins of the tongue. Ask yourself, does this really need to be said? Ask yourself, do I need to hear this? Does this harm another? Is there good reason to do that harm? Have I consulted a confessor before dealing with any of this? In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.